And we're go. Morning, everybody, or good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is in your place. This is the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm hosting this week. I'm not sure that's really a very good idea, but Rob isn't here, as we learned last week. He's on holiday. And so, joining me this morning, or drawing the short straw in order to join me, is João Dine Sanchez. Hello, João.
Hello there.
Sorry.
Hello.
This is so professional. Do you hear that? Sorry, I'll try that again. Hello, João.
Hello there, how are you?
Excellent, excellent. Yes, João, being the obliging chap that he is, has drawn the short straw. So, this is payment for us plugging his book last week, I think. So, there's nothing free at Pocket Gamer. So, So it's me and João this morning. How are you, João?
Not too bad, a bit tired, but I think I'll make it to the weekend without collapsing.
As long as you make it to the end of this podcast, that'll be fine.
That'll be a good start to the day, yes.
Yes, so, Rob is on holiday, and believe it or not, he hasn't found Chris. We talked last week about how Chris was seen in Portugal, probably mistreating a donkey, according to Rob. I don't want to speculate on that. But he hasn't found Chris. What he has done is he's cracked a rib. No idea how that happened yet. I'm sure he'll have lots of interesting stories to tell us next week when he returns. Do you care to speculate, João, on what might have happened to Rob?
I suspect it's a surfing accident.
A surfing accident?
Yes.
I never really had Rob down as the surfing type, if I'm honest.
Well, that's what he's been saying he was going off to do. So
I always thought of him more as the sort of pipe and slippers kind of guy. Okay, well, that's exciting. I'm sure he'll have an extremely elaborate and probably mostly fictional story to tell us when he gets back next week. If you're wondering why my voice sounds so echoey, it's not because I'm speaking to you through a gramophone. It's because my living room has in it at the moment a clothes stand, drying some clothes, a chair, me, and a laptop.
That sounds like an art installation.
I should, I'm in Berlin, and you would be amazed what passes for an art installation here. I should take photographs of it and try and sell them.
It's very apt, very minimalist.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should all follow your example, I think. Certainly, I'm surrounded by I'm surrounded by video game stuff.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be an art installation I'd be willing to go and see.
Yes, until you can't walk anywhere anymore because of bits everywhere. But
I went to an art installation the other day. I was my dad was visiting. He was in Berlin, and I foolishly decided to take him to a modern art exhibition at what's called the Museumsinsel, just near the Alexanderplatz in Berlin. And we went in. And there were some interesting bits and pieces, but there was one thing that was just a collection of twigs that were bound together in the middle, sitting on the floor. And next to the twigs was a long golden rod lying on the floor. And in amongst the twigs, there was a postcard that read in large, bold, black typeface, "I can explode the world."
Mm.
Yeah, I thought that was... my dad had a few raised eyebrows, and I had to join him in being a little bit suspect about whether or not that might be slightly pretentious, but
that's pretty deep.
It could be deep. Could be deep. Might mean a lot to the artist.
And I'm more impressed by the fact you've taken your dad to an art installation. I think that's very, very honourable of you.
Yeah, well, I'd spent enough time sitting in smoky bars with them throughout the week, so I thought we'd do something different and try and soak up some culture. Sadly, I'm not exactly sure whether or not there's an awful lot of merit in that culture. Probably should have taken him to something a bit more German. But hey, there you go. I think we're probably supposed to talk about something to do with iPhone games in this podcast at some point.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, should we do that? No, it's my fault entirely. I'm rambling. Without Rob here to rein me in, I'm just losing it.
Okay, let's talk iPhone then.
Yeah, let's talk iPhone. I must warn you, listeners, we don't have any preparation made whatsoever. We've been very, very busy this week. We produce a wretched and just deplorable podcast. This week is going to be several notches worse than that. So prepare yourselves. Okay, yeah, one thing that I did notice this week that's happening on the App Store is that there's this new open world RPG that's going to be coming out. Raven Sword, The Fallen King. And yeah, it looks cool. It's from a company called Crescent Moon Games, and I don't think there's really been a successful open world game attempted on the iPhone yet, unless I'm very much mistaken. Do you know about any, Joao?
No, I can't think of any. I'm sure that one of our listeners will prove us wrong, but
I'm sure they will.
I remember reading about this one and thinking, you know, goodness, there's a lot of promise there.
There is. Well, I mean, what do you think? Do you think that's the right platform? Would you play an open world game on the iPhone?
Well, I think anything's possible. I think the beauty is in trying to get. It's certainly not the sort of genre that you'd associate with the iPhone, obviously, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be attempted.
If
it's done right, I think you could get away with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, without wanting to discount the efforts of Crescent Moon Games, the thing that excites me about this is that it might, you know, provide a little bit more of an incentive for other companies like Bethesda, for example, who've long since expressed an interest in getting something onto the iPhone to actually make good on their original their plans that they were talking about originally. So, it could be a game like this could be a catalyst for much more of the same to come, which would be great because I really do crave having some sort of RPG that I could play on the move that isn't a sort of top-down 2D thing. I think that whole 2D RPG thing, just I was too young when it happened, so I don't have the same nostalgia for it. I mean, my main RPG experiences happened after, you know, the 3D Zelda games arrived and all that kind of thing.
That's shameful.
It is shameful, yeah. I'm a pocket gaming philistine. I'm a gaming philistine, in fact.
No, I think you could get away with it. I think, for whatever reason, people assume that iPhone players, you know, want quick and easy kind of snappy stuff to experience on the way to work or whatever. But there's, you know, with the amount of people with iPhones and iPod touches out there, there's got to be a subset that is going to be happy. But, you know, spending hours playing games on their iPhone or iPod Touch in the same way that anyone else, you know, would play on their PC or other handhelds.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that we've often talked about on the podcast is that people tend to play iPhone games not necessarily on their way to work or when they're in transit in any way. They often play them sat on the couch at home. And I think that's probably often the case with a lot of handheld gaming, not just iPhone. So there's definitely, I think, as you say, there's definitely going to be a subset who would be interested in this. I'd be interested in playing this. I'm almost certain that I'm going to pick it up. I mean, it looks very, very impressive. That's what's got me sceptical. You know, it's such an ambitious-looking title, and it's so ambitious in its scope that I'm concerned whether or not it's going to be possible to actually successfully shoehorn something that vast onto the iPhone. But I hope they manage.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Raven Sword, the Fallen King. We'll look forward to that. It's we've got an interesting piece on it that our very own American correspondent and Apple guru, Tracy Erickson, wrote, where he goes into a lot of detail and, in fact, manages to get a lot of questions answered by the game's developers, in particular a chap who's the chief executive officer of Crescent Moon Games, Josh Prezeisen. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that. I hope I've not pronounced it incorrectly. So, yeah, go to the site and read that. It'll have lots more information than our fumbling attempts to cover it. Okay, yeah, so that's that. In fact, it's interesting because it seems that there's actually a few more games in that vein, not necessarily RPGs, but in the kind of, you know, ye olde medieval swords and sorcery type kind of theme going on the iPhone. There's Dungeon Hunter.
Yes.
That's coming, that we reviewed this week. It did very well. It got a 7, didn't it? Did you see that?
Dungeon Hunter, no. Dungeon Hunter was a 9 out of 10.
Was it a 9? Goodness.
Yes.
Right. Okay,
yes.
Well.
Yes. It's one of the highlights of the week, in fact.
Yeah, that's a glowing recommendation. Again, from Tracy Erickson, a review there. It's you know, if you're a fan of the gauntlet style games, or the, you know, the kind of top down hack and slash games, then this is the one that apparently finally successfully delivers that experience on the iPhone. So yeah, one to look out for. That's Dungeon Hunter. And the other game that I noticed this week that's in that vein is a game called The Relic, which is another gauntlet style game. It was just announced this week. It's coming to the iPhone, and it's from the ever dependable Chillingo, who we like very much. Did you see that on the site, Joao?
I did, yes. Yes, it's anything that's gauntlet style usually grabs my attention. it's one game from my youth. I can't escape.
You can't seem to shake it.
No, and why would you want to?
Why would you want to?
Indeed, yes. It's
it's funny because being so youthful and sprightly and the envy of all the rest of the Pocket Gaming staff, I'm way too young to have actually experienced the Gauntlet games the first time round. I never played them. The first time I came into contact even with that style of gaming was when there was that game that was launched around the launch of the PlayStation called Loaded, which I enjoyed a lot. I don't think it did very well with the critics at the time, but I loved it because there was some really cool comic book artists from the 2000 AD guys that were working on it, and it looked really cool, and I had a lot of fun with it. So, yeah, that was my first experience of gauntlet-style gaming.
It's entirely your loss, of course, right?
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Yes. I realize, you know, it's dreadful. I really don't have the time to play all the games that I want to play. This is the thing about gaming. It's even if it's a hobby that's beyond a hobby, even if it's something that you do for a living, because a game can't be consumed in 2 hours the way in which a film can, it's just nigh on impossible to get through all of the games that you're interested in. You know,
yes.
It's just one of those things.
It's like a curse.
It is like a curse. I'm at the moment, I think maybe about 50 or 60 hours into Fallout 3, and yeah, there's no end in sight. And it's stopping me from playing games like Gauntlet or 2D RPG games from back in the day. Never mind. I can catch up on all that stuff on the iPhone in bite-sized form.
Yes, I think it's all coming, you know, it all goes full circle.
It sure does.
There's no escape. They'll get you in the end.
They'll get me in the end, yeah. I always say to my wife that I'm really looking forward to old age, and that, you know, I don't have any qualms about being shuffled into a retirement home after I start dribbling and becoming an embarrassment to the rest of my family, because I'm just going to use that time to play all of the video games that I didn't manage to play in my youth that I didn't have time for. So, yeah.
That's my plan as well. I've actually got my some of my neighbours are old age pensioners, and they do appear to sit all day, particularly in the winter, in front of their televisions, just not doing anything. And,
yeah.
I'm very much the same. My plan is, I mean, I've got it all mapped out, really.
Got a hit list.
Yeah,
to get.
I've got my pile of games, I've got my machines, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Only a few more years and I'll be there.
Excellent, yeah. If only we could retire by the time we're 40, then it would just be perfect, because we'd still have the lack of arthritic impediments to actually play video games when we're retired.
In theory,
yeah. Absolutely. Cool. Okay, so that's what Joao and I will be doing when we're old and grey. But whilst you're young and youthful, go and check out The Relic, when it comes out, because it's from the ever-dependable Chillingo and it looks really cool. So, yeah, being that we are pushed for time today, and we're essentially trying to rattle through this podcast with as little embarrassment as possible, and that's going to be achieved by spending as little time as possible on the podcast, we're going to move swiftly on from the news and straight into the rumour mine, which I will play the jingle for now. Joao, this may come as something of a shock if you haven't heard the rumour mine jingle before, so brace yourself.
I'm braced.
Rumor. Rumor. Whoops, about to slip down. What'd you make of that?
Well, I have heard it before, but
okay.
But it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, yeah.
Yep.
It's the envy of all other iPhone podcasts, I'm sure. Okay, right, so we're in the rumour mine. There's dead Canadians all over the floor. There's discarded mining equipment all over the place. There's disgruntled workers. They're sweaty. They've had a long day. They've found very little. They're desperate to go and drink several pints of bitter and moan about Thatcherism. So we're going to get out of here as quickly as possible. Rumours. We don't have any rumours. I think basically our rumour this week is that Rob was attacked by a shark while surfing. It made a play for him whilst he was paddling on his belly on a surfboard, and it butted him with his nose and cracked his rib. And so, yeah, he's suffering greatly out in Portugal. And, yeah, no sign of Chris. It's just a failed, miserable, wretched attempt at a rescue. So, so well done, Rob. Come back soon. We need you for the podcast.
And please.
Especially for the rumour mine. And don't think that you're going to be getting any sort of sympathy whatsoever. You had it coming, to be quite frank. Joao, anything to add?
I think that's quite hard. a cracked rib is hugely painful. I think it hurts even if you breathe in, by all accounts. But yes, you're absolutely right. It deserves it. I trained those sharks for months.
Yeah.
I'm glad it all worked out.
Yeah, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like Rob is one of the pygmies from Pocket God. And he's been dropped into the ocean and one of the sharks has attacked him. But of course, all joking aside, we do wish our fellow Pocket Gamer chappy, Rob, a swift recovery, and we hope that his cracked rib hasn't ruined his holiday. But I believe that Rob's better half is a doctor, so he's in very good hands.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so that's good. So with that, I think we will escape the rumour mine before we say anything else that's unkind, and we'll make a swift dash for the lift, crunching dead Canaries underfoot as we go.
Yes, apologies for that.
Rumour. Rumour.
I could listen to that all day.
Yeah, me too. I think I might just, after the podcast, I might just loop it. Just on headphones and see how long I can stand it.
Yes.
Okay, so, what next, Raoul? What next?
I don't know. What have we been playing?
We been playing? Good call. Okay, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing, to kind of go back to the theme, Dungeon Hunter.
Oh, cool.
Which, obviously, after Tracy's review came in, that got my attention. And, yes, it's very good. In fact, it's very, very good.
Okay.
It's just, it is obviously kind of just hack and slash. I mean, I think you either like that sort of thing or you don't. But it's not your typical kind of hack and slash where it's ultimately just repetitive and
yeah.
there's not an awful lot of substance there. Although you could have said that of Gauntlet to a certain extent.
Sure.
But it's lovely. It's just I'll be honest. I haven't spent an awful lot of time into it yet. I'm not I'm nowhere near finishing it. But it's thoroughly recommended. It's kind of got lots of it's got a role playing quite a strong role playing flavour to it.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those games that before you know it, it's got you, and I'll summarize it in a way that might make sense. It's the sort of game that when you're not playing, you think about, which to me is always an excellent sign of something that's been well put together.
Yeah, that is a good sign, sure, definitely. Well, that sounds good. I mean, that's the thing about these games. We often compare them to games that we've played in our youth or before, or games that we hold in high esteem. And the reality is that often it can be the case that we talked about this last week briefly as well, that the games that we remember, the memory of them is perhaps slightly tainted with nostalgia, and it's a sweeter memory than the actual game itself, because the hack and slash, there's only so many things you can do with a hack and slash game. So Gauntlet, Dungeon Hunter, whatever. I'm probably
and nothing in between.
Nothing in between. God, I'm going to have an angry mob with pitchforks and torches at my door before I know it. Okay.
No, it's true. I mean, and I've been playing something else. I'll tell you something that I always keep coming back to, and it's been true this week. Well, in fact, it's been true for the last couple of weeks. It's Field Runners. I can't seem to escape that game.
Yeah.
I've got into a habit of just doing a kind of last thing at night session, as it were. And before you know it, it's you know 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're still kind of just mowing down little men and little bikes and helicopters and what have you.
Topical as well, topical, because I believe Field Runners, if it isn't available now for the PSP Go, it will be available within the next 10 or 12 hours or so. So,
I think it's there already.
Is it available already? Okay.
I think it is. But you're right, yes, it's made the transition across to PSP Go, or PSP, in fact, it just says
PSP,
one of those minis. They're talking about. So I think that proves my point. It's not, you know, it's a game that you can.
It's got legs.
It's got legs. You keep coming back to it.
I'm the same with Peggle. I think that I often find that when I'm at that stage, when I'm kind of flicking through my home screen pages, looking for something to play, if something doesn't jump out at me within the first 10 seconds, I almost always instinctively just go to Peggle to have a quick shot on that.
It's like your comfort blanket.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. It's a comfort game. It's something. It's familiar. I know what I'm getting. It's like, you know, when you go to a restaurant that you're familiar with and you order the same thing more often than not, because you know that it's going to be a reliable thing to get. You know.
Mm. You've got to have dependable things in life.
You do. It's the little things. It's the little things that count, I always say. So Peggle is one of the little things. Not to diminish PopCap's achievement, of course, it's a tremendous game, worthy of the highest of praise, but in my life, it's one of the little things that just makes life that little bit more bearable. Anything else that you've been playing, Joao?
No, those two, really.
Those two, okay.
Those two, obviously, are the machines we can't mention. But,
okay, those that shall not be named, yeah.
Yeah, I do have to spread my gaming love around, as it were. But it's... the iPod's always there, last thing at night, first thing in the morning. And again, dependable. You know,
you've got to have
those constants.
You do, they do, you do. They're very important. Well, I've been playing this week two new games. I've actually gone to the effort of playing two new games specifically for the podcast. You readers don't know how lucky you are. The effort I go to, honestly.
That is dedication.
So the first of the two games I've been playing, I'll confess I haven't played very much of it. It's a game called War Men, so you can imagine that it's not a virtual horse or anything else like that. It's a game about shooting things often until they die. The jury is still out as far as I'm concerned. What it does well is graphics. It looks really, really good. It's full 3D third-person shooter. But the emphasis is really on kind of duck and cover combat. So it's really that sort of Gears of War style, hiding behind things, then popping up to shoot some baddies a little bit, and then moving between cover and then doing that again. And it works pretty well, and the controls are quite simple. There are only 5 levels, and I've so far only made it onto the second. So I'm wary about complaining about, you know, how much content there are in iPhone games, simply because they tend to be so cheap, and especially seeing as this game obviously probably wasn't that cheap to produce, given that it's got lots of lovely 3D graphics. But I must confess, I am hopeful that there are updates to round off the package, because 5 levels does seem like it might leave me wanting more, prices notwithstanding. So yeah, War Men. It's out now. Talked about it in the App Store yesterday. It actually came to my attention via our forum in the iPhone and iPod Touch developer news section. So if third-person shooters are your thing and you're fed up of Gameloft's offerings, check it out. It's only $1.19, and it is definitely worth a look. So yeah, that's War Men.
Sounds good.
Yeah. The second game I've been playing is a game called Bunny Breeders. This really is taking the flight control iPhone line drawing genre to its logical zenith point, really. Basically, what you do is you have rabbits on the screen hopping about as they do, and you draw lines between the rabbits to bring them together, which instigates a sort of little cloud of, like the sort of cloud that you might see when two cats have a fight, you know, that sort of, there's limbs flying everywhere and there's dust being kicked up, and it looks like a sort of miniature hurricane or miniature whirlwind or something. Mm-hmm. And after they've gone through that, this is them obviously engaging in the procreative act of rabbit love. So that, I think perhaps that the cloud of dust is to help conceal their modesty. But
very much as you know, that's how I always imagined it.
Yeah.
to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So educational as well.
Educational as well. Blue Peter really has a lot to answer for. That was one. There's a gaping hole in my knowledge of rabbit procreation. I was expecting that to be the place I would find out this kind of thing, but. But yeah, would you know, it's an iPhone game that's helped inform me. But anyway, what happens after they've mated is that then they multiply. And it's your job then to then guide them into a little rabbit burrow, in, which is located in the centre of the screen. It's a little hole, so you've got to draw them there. All the while, there's a fox that continually attempts to attack and kill the bunnies that you are helping to encourage to multiply. So what you do is there's a cow... Are you following this? There's a cow on the screen as well. And what you need to do is you need to draw a line for the cow so that it follows that path and heads off the fox and helps protect the rabbits. So obviously, the more rabbits that you... The score is based on how many rabbits you can produce and then direct to the burrow. So the more rabbits you have, the harder it is to protect them. And the... As the game goes on, the more aggressive the fox attacks get, and the more conscientious you have to be with making use of your cow. So yeah, it's definitely original. I don't think I can think of any other game in which you use a cow to shield mating rabbits from a fox. So
do cows really do that?
I hope so. I think cows probably in reality tend to stand there gormlessly, chewing with their mouth open, peeing and pooing at the same time in a sort of an oblivious way.
They do seem to get easily confused.
They do, yeah, they do. They really, they are asking to become hamburgers, if anything. I'm sure Rob would be horrified to hear that, being the mild-mannered vegetarian that he is.
He's not here,
exactly.
So it's meat all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get a machine gun, and we're going to gun down every cow that we see and turn them into steak tartare, eat it raw like savages.
Sounds interesting, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, really good. It's, I have to say, you know, it's one of those genres where I always approach new entries into that stable with at least a degree of cynicism, because I'm always thinking to myself, well... You know, this isn't really your idea. This is essentially Fireman's Game with a new skin on it. But at the same time, that's perhaps me being a little bit too jaded as somebody who writes about these things for a living. Because I think it's a good thing that we've got new genres emerging on the iPhone, and definitely Flight Control has been responsible for the birth of what is now affectionately known as the line drawing genre. And this game makes a really good attempt at bringing something fresh and original to that, and it's really well presented, and it's really good fun, and it is different enough from the likes of Flight Control or Harbour Master to justify a separate purchase, I would say, for sure. So yeah, go out and get it. It's this week's recommendation. I solidly recommend Bunny Breeders. It's 59 cents, or pence, sorry, or 99 cents, and worth every penny. So yeah, Bunny Breeders.
I'm sold.
You're sold. Excellent. I should work for Apple. Right. So that's what we've been playing. So all there is left to do now is to announce that we're not going to have a competition this week, simply because we have not had time to organise one. We're sorry, listeners. We can't be perfect all of the time, but we can award last week's winner, which. Who wrote in with the correct answer. Last week, if you remember, we played a clip that featured some sort of up-tempo kind of I don't know if it was samba sort of style music with some crowd noises in the background. And regular listener Michael Spencer wrote in with the correct answer, which was, of course, Real Football 2010, which we talked about in that podcast. So well done to you, Michael. We're going to be sending out a £5 iTunes gift voucher to you very shortly.
Well done.
So yeah, well done to you. So before we sign off, Joao, do you have anything else to add to this barely concealed excuse for a podcast?
I'd just like to apologise profusely to everyone. And,
we do every week. We do every week.
Do you? Yeah. But yes, Rob will be back minus one rib.
Minus one rib, yeah.
And we'll kind of, we'll replace me more than adequately, I fear.
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to second Joao's apology, but to also thank Joao, who is in absolutely no way at fault for this absolutely disgusting, diseased mess of a podcast that you've just listened to. It's really me who's to blame. I'm the one holding the reins. But thanks, Joao, again, for coming a second week and keeping the Pocket Gaming iPhone podcast torch held aloft whilst Rob's away.
It is my mission.
It is your mission. Excellent. That's great. So, yeah. So, all that's left to do is to say, don't give this a rating. Don't even download it. Just if you happen to hear it, then that's fine. But what you should do is go to Pocket Gamer, www.pocketgamer.co.uk, where you can read our writings. There are features, there are news items, there are reviews, there are interviews, there are all sorts. And there are also lots of videos these days as well. We've got a couple of guys who are really churning out some good video content for us to look at on the site. So
yes,
yeah,
we're a lot better digitally, aren't we? We're a lot better in words.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, we can't fumble our words and we can't, you know, forget what we're talking about. We're much better. So do that. Head to Pocket Gamer, read our writings. You can of course leave a comment on the thread for this podcast, and that's all there is to it, I think. So I think it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from
Goodbye.
Okay.